I just pray that the Lord would help us. I feel like our homes and our families are from whence everything else flows. If we don't get it right there, we're not going to get it right anywhere, I don't believe. And we need the Lord to help us. It's a mammoth task, and more than any of us have without the Lord helping us. And I just want to say, when we start, I feel a little inhibited teaching on the home and things, because who claims to have done their job perfect? We've made many mistakes, but we've learned a lot of lessons, and I want to share some of those things with you this morning that I know work. I would like for us to start, if we could get the mic and just pass it around a little bit, in Psalms 128, and read that psalm, 1 through 6. If you don't want to read, just pass it on. I believe this is the environment that the Lord would like for our homes to be like. And I just felt like when I was a young person, there's one thing the Lord gave me that I've never let go of. I knew the Lord gave it to me when I was, I don't remember if I was married yet or not, but He gave me this psalm, and I've hung on to that. Can somebody start in first verse, 128th psalm?
In His ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children, and peace upon Israel.
That sounds pretty good, doesn't it? I want to invite us, if we have something that we really feel is vital, to share that this afternoon and make it real short, because there is a lot of things to cover. But I want us to think a little bit about this chapter first, just to set a little mark up there for us to reach for. This is what the Lord wants to give us here. He says, blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord.
Amen.
I felt like the Lord brought some scriptures to my mind as I went through this chapter. And one of them was the blessing of the Lord.
Yes.
What does it do? It maketh rich.
Yes.
You believe that this morning? I want to tell you something. I found it to be so. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. We need that this morning, this afternoon. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in His ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. The scripture in Isaiah 12 and 3, that other one was Proverbs 10 and 22. In Isaiah 12 and 3, it says, therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. You know, the Lord plans for our home to have joy in it. He plans for our life to have a center, a wellspring of life and joy that can flow out from that home. The Lord wants our home to be that way. It takes a real effort from the husband and the wife for that to happen. And it takes the blessing of the Lord. But the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. It maketh rich. It does. Happy shalt thou be. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house. Thy children like olive plants round about thy table. I thought about the Proverbs 31 woman. This is what God wants to give us in our homes. I'd like to set that environment in our home. The Lord wants to do some things within our home and produce some fruit out of our home, but it can't be done if the environment is an environment of hostility or an environment of selfishness and things like that. I thought about the Proverbs 31 and 10. It says, her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. You know, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. You know, it takes both for this to happen. You know, it says that your wife will be like a fruitful vine. You know, a fruitful vine, this may be talking about children. It may be much more broad than that. I want to take it much more broad than that. Our wife, you know, if she is a fruit giver. She is a vine that it can be that way.
Yes.
But, you know, we've got to treat the vine well. We've got to nourish it and take care of it, men, brothers, if we want that vine to be a fruitful vine. We can have a vine that's all shriveled up, little water, little fruit, little confidence, little ability to act with confidence. We can have that, or we can have a fruitful vine. It's green, it's flourishing. And the Lord, this is the environment that the Lord wants us to have in our home so that there can be many good things come out of our home, including children that fear the Lord and that love the Lord. The Lord wants to produce that. Really, there has to be an environment for that really to happen right. There has to be this kind of environment. Blessed, or behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. I have hung on to that verse. Many times I've went back and read this because our homes, it's a difficult place to raise a family in today's world. Sometimes you think maybe you're losing the battle. But you know, the scripture here gives us some real promises. And the Lord gave me this as a promise. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. Keep walking with the Lord. Keep fearing Him. Keep loving Him. Keep treating our family and others like we ought. Keep our experience with the Lord up to date. Fear the Lord. And I'll tell you, the natural outcropping of that is blessed. And you know that word, I believe this is the word I looked up. I think it means happy. Happy. How happy? Okay. An exclamation. How happy is it? Isn't that a wonderful promise? This is a promise we can have in our homes if we will. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children and peace upon Israel. And the Lord brought that scripture to my mind in Psalms 27 and 4. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. You know, that's on purpose too. That's not something that just happens. Some people like it and some people don't. We set our affections on those things that are right. Set our affections and set our ways to please the Lord. And I want to tell you, yes, it comes at a sacrifice, but all the blessing of the Lord. Blessed? How happy? I found this to be so. The Lord wants to give us many good things. It does take a real cooperation between both in order for this to really happen. I was thinking about how that in this kind of environment, I believe generally, children will thrive. I believe they'll be healthy, healthy with good desires, wanting to do right things in this kind of environment generally. If we make the Lord, the things of the Lord, our chief joy. So I just want to think about that. I just wanted to lay that for a little foundation. And then I felt like the Lord gave me a little illustration. But first, I was thinking about a round bale of hay. How many of you know what a round bale looks like? It's big. It's some of them are real big, and they get heavy. And we haven't had a bale spike. So to feed our animals, we've had to go and many times just get some boards and push that round bale up on the trailer and bring it over and unload it. Well, you know, we found something out. You get a couple 3 tuba 6s and about 3 of you. And a big one, if one will get down low and pull up, and then the other one sticks theirs in and pulls up, and then the next one, and you just keep pulling up like that. You keep pushing that thing, and you'll find you can make that bale roll. And I felt like the Lord gave me this little illustration. I hope you can understand it. I hope I can explain it well enough or even understand it well enough. But three-phase electric. A motor that runs on three-phase has three wires that come into it. And each one of these wires, AC electric runs like this, in a pattern like that. And what happens is, if you just have two of those legs hooked up, you can have them fully electrified, and the motor won't turn at all. And that third leg comes in and kicks in. And what is happening is that electric is, while one of them is kicking in at one point, another one's kicking in at another, and another one's kicking in, and it begins to rotate that motor by magnetic force. And that motor begins to turn because those phases are kicking in at different times. You know, I'm thinking this afternoon, and I'd like for us to write this thought down, if we would. I know there's more things than this, but I thought about three things that I feel like are vital to our home, that they have to work in unity with each other. They kick in at different times. One of them is correction. And if we don't have a proper balance of these things in our home may not work right. Things may not happen right. Our children may not respond right. I was thinking about correction, meaning discipline, chastening. I was thinking about teaching as another phase to that. And relationship, winning their heart as the third leg. You know, we can have all the teaching and all the correction that we want. And if we don't have a connection with that child, there may not be anything positive that happens. All of that is dormant. Nothing happens. And likewise, we can have teaching and we can have relationship, and it's still going to be real limited if we don't have some correction. What's going to happen? So I want you all to feel free to be a part of this discussion. So if you have something, if you'll hold your hand up. I want to start with correction. Proverbs 29 and 17. Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. You know, it's good for us to get these concepts down in our hearts, because what I found is that many of us wasn't raised with all of these concepts. And sometimes we miss some concepts and we don't understand that this is needed. Not everybody understands. Some people just think, well, some turn out good, some turn out bad. But that's not the biblical concept of it. The biblical concept tells us, correct thy son. Now, that doesn't mean beat him half to death and he's going to do what you say. It means to correct him. Get him on the right path. getting from where he's going wrong to the right way. Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Now, I want to ask you this afternoon, what is rest? It's peace. It's just, I can relax a little bit. How many of us have been in homes, and I'm not down on anybody that has this situation, where there's constant bickering and strife? You know what, saints? The environment of our home that the Lord promised was one of rest. And he gives us some counsel to get there. And he says, correct your son, or your daughter, it means. Correct them, and they will give you rest. Get them going in the right way. In Proverbs 29 and 15, it says, the rod and reproof give wisdom. 29 and 15, I'm sorry. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to what? What is shame?
Disgrace. Dishonor.
Dishonor. Disgrace. A child left to himself brings a parent to disgrace because of the things they do. But it says here, the rod and reproof give wisdom. What is the rod? All right. Thy rod and thy staff.
Could it be a little switch?
All right. Anybody ever had a switch? How many of you have ever had a switch applied? I did. I had to go cut my own when I was young. All right. What else can be a rod? Has the Lord ever chastened you with a rod? Did he have a switch? The Word. All right? The Lord sometimes chastens us with the Word. He tells us. He gives us a little correction, doesn't he? But you know, I was thinking about a rod, I believe could be a figure for any form of punishment. It might be any form of effective punishment. All right.
And if ever he has a staff, he has a rod, and when a sheep...
Can you...
If a sheep is out of line or is on a precipice or in a place of danger, that rod is there to collect them, to bring them in, to guide them, to push them in the right way. It's not used on their back. It's used as a guidance, but that's what correction does.
Okay. All right. I believe it's any form of punishment, correction that might be needed. But we want to remember something. This is just one of the legs of the wires that come into this thing that make it happen. You can get two people pushing on that bale of hay. And you can get it maybe if you work hard enough, but that third one just helps out so much. You get that up, and then they get their 2x6 down under there, and they get it up. And that's the hard way to load hay, but it does happen. So this afternoon, our object is to correct the child. Let's don't be afraid to correct our children. Sometimes it takes what it takes. And we have to realize, for their good, I have to not regard their crying a little bit. Now, in we should not as parents be derelict of duty. Okay.
This is our job.
Yes, it is. It's part of our job.
That was hard to discipline.
I would spank that child, and the more I spanked that child, the more he rebelled. And I found out I had to do other things. And so it depends on the child what you do.
Yeah.
Some of them spanking, it won't work.
All right.
You know, I mean, not to just say no spanking ever, but, you know, just with some of them, I found out the Lord, he helped me that this particular one, I was praying about it, and I said, you know, I can't break his will, this one. He just won't break. And I was praying about it, and the Lord helped me to see this was when he's young and tender age, and the Lord helped me to see that I needed to more do loving discipline, more talk and try to be loving and stuff. So it all depends, I think, sometimes on the children when they're young on that discipline part. That we did discipline, we did spank, but sometimes we had to do something else.
All right. So it not only can be different forms, but it has to be. And I found that with some children, lower your voice and speak real soft. And I don't know what it is about that, but with some children, that just breaks them down. They can't deal with that. I thought about the scripture in James 3 and 17. And if we're writing notes at all, please write this one down. James 3 and 17 says, "But the wisdom that is from above." We need God's wisdom. That's His wisdom. The wisdom from above, that's the wise way of doing things. That's God's thoughts. That's His way. And you know what He says about it? This covers all of life. The wisdom that's from above is first pure. And then peaceable and gentle and easy to be entreated. You know what? When our wisdom, when the way we deal with somebody is not pure, we're angry or we're resentful or what? Or we're selfish, that's not pure. And our wisdom won't be right.
Your child has embarrassed you and you're disciplining them only because they've embarrassed you. That's not a pure motive.
Do you think a child knows that? Do you think a child knows that when you're embarrassed and that's why you're being hard on them? They do.
It doesn't mean you shouldn't correct.
That's right.
Don't do it for that motive.
Don't do it for that motive. Just wait a little bit. Mm-hmm. It'll be all right. Take them aside. And then it'll be effective.
Brother Philip, since we're in the Word chapter, could you bring out a little bit, like, should we say to a child that is misbehaving, constantly telling them that they are a naughty child over and over? Or should we say, you know, you have disobeyed, but you are going to be a good child? And our words, can they not give a child a complex that they are naughty and they're not going to get over it? I mean, our words are, God said what we speak happens. I mean, so I'm going to go on, but
all right.
Could you bring that out a little bit?
As good or bad.
Okay. All right. I really believe if we constantly talk about, you know, he's just so naughty. He just is always, he's so ornery. You know, I would never want to say that in front of my child. I don't want him to be ornery. And I don't want him to think he's ornery. Because then I have a double battle. Because he's identified who he is. And he'll live up to it. Yeah, then it gets into family members. And here's this little child that you think hardly knows the language. He knows what you're saying. But the wisdom that's from above is first pure, and then peaceable, and then gentle, and easy to be entreated. That means that we are easy to talk to. That means somebody can come, our child can come and talk to us about a problem they have with us. And we listen, and we're gentle, We may end up telling them what they don't want to hear, but we listen to them. We ought to be gentle and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. James 3 and 17. You know, there doesn't have to be striving and conflict in our homes. There doesn't have to be a constant striving. The Lord wants to give us rest, and He wants us to correct our children so they will give us rest. I know we just have a few minutes, so all I can do is hit some of these things real lightly. But I want to move on to Colossians 3 and 21 and read another one. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. You know, I believe that along with the correction, and I'm just going to hit this lightly, but we should in our hearts, in our minds, in our prayers to the Lord, in our counsel with others, I believe that any purpose that is very large ought to have some counsel with it. And personally, I went to those, I looked out for folks that I saw that had been successful with their families and their children wanted to live for the Lord. And they were a family in order. And I have counseled many hours, and it has saved me many mistakes and actually put us on a path in some ways that I believe was fundamental to helping our situation many times. But it says, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. And I was thinking about how that part of the challenge of parenting is to correct our children without creating an undue anger in them. Sometimes they don't understand and they're going to be angry. But they should not. We should be able to deal with them in such a way that they understand that really dad's right. Really mom's right. And that we should not create an unnecessary anger within our children. In fact, I want to challenge us, because to me this is one of the places that I see it getting missed a lot of times. Our relationship with our children, if we tie cords of love around their heart, there's a scripture that talks about being drawn with cords of love. I will tell you, when a child, even when they are testing the limits and maybe they're not submitting to the Lord like they should, you know what? If you got cords of love wrapped all around their heart, you're constantly involved in their life and you're constantly tugging. Let me tell you, that's a powerful draw for a child. It is one of the greatest tools that we've got. And I consider it one of the basic elements of making a home work right. And so if we, many times we see the scripture that says, beat a child and he, you know, he won't die. You know what? There is a lot in the Bible about relationships that we can learn from that will help us to know that if we grab onto that scripture and that's our mainstay, we're going to miss it. Because one of these days, the child's going to be big enough that if he wants to, he could probably beat us. And we don't want them to rebel like that. And so I believe that when a child gets big enough for that, most of the time, I believe he can have the kind of respect for us that he wouldn't even want us to feel bad. Enough cords drawn around his heart. And enough relationship with him. That means we've got some work to do to form that kind of bonds between our children. Is this right? This leg of it many times gets passed over. And I know we just have a little bit of time here. But if we can just take home with us, I want to explore that thought. I want to know what I need to do to get there with my child that maybe I'm struggling with. Because any of us that have raised several children, had some struggles probably. Sister Trish.
But when you correct a child, say you spank them or you talk real strongly that they shouldn't have done what they did, don't go into a long dissertation as to why at that time, because they're feeling so guilty and so down. But do it at a time when you're driving along the car, they have ice cream in their hands, and you're happy and you're building a relationship. Say, hey, you know how we should act when we go to a restaurant? You know how we should act when we go to church? You know how we should not lie, or whatever you want to teach them. Teach it during a happy time whenever they're able to receive it, because they can't hardly receive any preaching at the time whenever they feel you're angry at them.
That's right. I learned to do that with my children and grandchildren. But another thing I've learned is one-on-one time, especially if you have a large family, but even three or four children. And I'm doing that with the grandchildren, is taking one out and be with them one at a time and build that relationship of love. And what you brought out, Brother Phil, that's very important. And when our girls were growing up, if they did do wrong, I would pray with them individually after correction. I'd have prayer with them. And I would cry and weep sometimes and say, I really want you to be saved when you grow up, and that's why I'm correcting you. And that really made an effect on them.
I know not everybody will probably agree with this, but I always required mine to pray with me afterwards. Because what I saw was, as soon as their mouth opened and they started praying, something started breaking. And when they're 5 years old especially, they don't know whether they want to pray or not. They're not old enough to make a decision like that. So that's my feelings about it. I'll just put that in it. But I was thinking about this relationship. Our children have to believe. They know us. So we're not going to convince them of anything that's not so. They have to know that we're real. And they have to know that we are humble too. And they can speak to us, and we'll just take it. If they told us that you're hasty in what you say, okay, I was. I'm sorry. I know there's a place that when they're in anger and they speak to you wrongly and things, we have to correct some of those times. But I will tell you, when our children constantly tell us something, we ought to be listening and be humble enough to accept that. And maybe we don't think so, but if all of our children and our wife tells us so, it's so, most likely. So sometimes I've just had to humble myself and accept our part of the error. You know what that does? And then go take them maybe and do something nice with them. Let them know I care about you. You know what that does? It endears you to them. And there becomes an endearing, and they know they love me. And that's important, because a lot of times when they would rebel or do something, if there's those cords wrapped around, it's going to be a strong, strong pullback. Be gentle with our children. Make them respect us by the way that we act, and not because we say respect us. I'm going to move on to one more, the teaching aspect, and we're just hitting these a little lick because we have so little time. But I want to look at what the Bible says. Brother Dan referred to it a while ago in Deuteronomy 6. There's some verses here that I believe are valuable for us, because I believe sometimes we get things compartmentalized in our mind. Church is over here, and living for the Lord is that, and entertainment is here, and something else is over here, and work is over here. Well, the Lord is interspersed in everything we do. There is no compartment for the Lord except our whole life and mind and soul and heart and being. And so when the Lord gave instruction to them, He said in verse 4 of Deuteronomy 6, Hear, O Israel, the Lord, our God, is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. Now, we want our children to live for God. The first thing the Lord told us here in this reading was for you and me to love Him with all of our heart and soul. That's the first commandment. Thou shalt love the Lord. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. We take them. We humble ourselves before we ask our children to humble themselves. We become humble people. We don't fly off in some great fit of anger and then tell our child to humble themselves. Anger begets anger. The flesh begets a fleshly response. And we want our child to act sanctified, and we're acting all out of sorts. It's not going to happen that way. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. These words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. All the time. Yeah. Keep it before them. That doesn't mean we preach at them all the time. It's just an integrated part of our life. It's in everything we do. It's in everything we say. It's we trust God for everything. We pray to the Lord. So all along the way, we teach the children the things that they ought to know. And so we don't look for a setting to just sit down and train them. That's good too, but that's not where they're going to learn most of it. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand. They shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. Everywhere. It's everywhere. Evidence everywhere. And I was thinking about the teaching, training our children, helping them to understand. I always liked live examples. I know we don't want to talk about people as such and gossip. But I will tell you something. When you see somebody that goes out and they take their car out and they go 120 miles an hour and they run into a tree and they die, I will tell you, I'd want to take my child, and when I go by that tree, I'd want to let them know. See that tree, son? You know that boy we knew over there? That is so sad. It cost him his life, what he was doing. You know what? There's all kinds of things like that. You see that one over there that's been rebelling? I want to tell you something. I just want to tell you what's going to happen in about 2 years or 3 years. This is the pattern that they're going to follow if they continue that road. And then you see others that have already made shipwreck. And then a month after they get married, they're divorced. And then they get married again, and then they're divorced and married. And son, I want to tell you something. You know the rebellion they got? You know that sharp tongue they've got about the people of God? You know the rebellion toward everything good? That's the kind of life you have when you live like that. They need to know that. That's a live example, and I don't believe there's any better example than that. And I know the Word of God has a lot of good things. What's that? I didn't catch that. Wisdom crieth in the streets. It's everywhere. It cries to us. And if we will use it, I believe the Lord will help our children to avoid many things, because they become convinced in their heart and mind. The blessing of the Lord, I've seen it. It maketh rich. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich. Did you know that? The blessing of the Lord maketh rich. I love that scripture. I know it to be so. And the enemy, his ways destroy and cost so much. I want to bring one illustration here. Is there a small child in here that wouldn't mind coming up here for a minute? A real small... Darren? How about it? Darren? I'll tell you what. We're going to symbolize the cross with this, okay? We're going to symbolize that this is the cross. We all want our children to come to the cross, don't we? Now turn around 3 or 4 times, Darren. I guess you know where you're at now. Darren,
mm-hmm.
I want you to go to the cross. Did you see that thing?
Mm-hmm.
I want you to go to it. No, you're going the wrong way, Darren. No, turn around. Go toward the cross. Don't you see it over there? Turn on around. Darren's having a hard time. You can go sit down. Folks, the scripture, 2 Corinthians 4:4, talks about the God of this world blinding the minds. Do you know our children can be blinded to be able to find the cross? And we're telling them, son, I want you to go to the cross. I want you to go to the cross. And they got something that's blinding them. We have to, as parents, sometimes we have to fast and pray to get that bag off of their head. Sometimes we have to take some strong measures to get that bag off of their head. I was thinking about some of the hindrances that cause a child not to be able to make their way to the cross. You know, there could be some sensual something in their life that's got them blinded to be able to see their way to the cross. There could be some bitterness in their heart that blinds them, and they can stand right there and conviction come time after time in the service. No effect. They can find, I was thinking about the fantasies of videos and novels, or evil music, or friends, or entertainment that's a bad attitude. It is our job, it is part of our job to help them. And I'm going to give you one example. One of our children, one time, we was extremely concerned and disturbed because this was our only child that would just constantly lie to us. No conscience at all. Constantly, we would be in services. And this child was young, very young, first or second grade maybe. And never conviction never touched them. Our other children were very soft. And the Lord would touch them. And we would pray with them. But this child, nothing. You know, we began to get real concerned. And I want to tell you something. God has to help us with these things. It's not within our power to do all of this. And we began to pray and seek the Lord earnestly. Wasn't long till another parent called me. He said, you know what? And this had happened quite some time back. You know what my child said? Your child and my child did? And I didn't want to hear that. That hurt bad because now this child has a real problem too. And I knew there was enough evidence that it was true. And I approached our child and he denied it, of course, just lied, just looked at us and lied. And by and by, we knew for sure that it had happened. And so we began, Rosie and I was just calling upon the Lord, Lord, what do we do? And I believe this, when Daniel and his fellows, I believe it calls it, came before the king, there was a time, and they said, we need, how did they phrase that? God is the one that is the revealer of secrets. You know, God can reveal secrets to us. And I will tell you, the Lord, I believe, gave me this. And this is the most extreme thing I ever did with my children. But I took this child and I said, look, you're not confessing and I know you're guilty. And I said, from this point on, you're going to stay home from school. You're not going to do anything, but every morning early, you're getting up and you're going to work all day long. And at night, you're going straight to bed. And that's the way it's going to be. And I saw that the Lord can give us the keys to unlock our heart, the hearts of our children. And I saw that soaking into him. I could tell it was hitting home because he didn't like that idea at all. And but you know what? That same day, he came and started confessing. Kind of, what? Oh, was it 3 days? I'm sorry. Rosie said it was 3 days. Maybe it was. Okay. But there was a process. I remember that. There was days involved in this whole thing. And you know, that child started confessing a little bit. And then the whole truth finally came out. Well, you know what happened? That spirit was broken. And we have never had an issue with that child again. It's been many years ago, and I've seen the Lord work in his life. You know what? I want to tell you, the Lord wants us to remove some hindrances through the Spirit of the Lord from our children's lives. It can be like a sack over their head, and we're telling them, son, let's pray. Humble your heart before God. No humbling. What's the problem? Lord, you got to give us some help because I can sense there's something in his way. And you know what? There's a battle that begins to go on in the spirit and with the Lord and with that child and working with them that begins to go on. And I will tell you, that spirit was broken. I give all that credit to God because he broke that for us. And I've never had an issue since then. So I just want to maybe, I don't want to take all the time because Rosie needed a few minutes, but I just want to mention a couple of other things before we go. I will say this, those things that bind our children, we are the head of our home, and sometimes we do have to say, it's not going to be so in my home. It's not going to be so. You're still under my jurisdiction. And so that music, that thing that's hindering them may have to be kicked out by mom and dad. Dad, be strong enough. Mom, be strong enough to support him. Because I will tell you, if you'll win these battles in the Lord, you'll come out with some victories and some gems, and you'll find rest in your home. And you'll find peace and blessing, and you'll find your children wanting to give their lives to the work of God. Isn't that what we want our children to want to do? Don't be afraid to sacrifice for the gospel and call and let your life bear some sacrifice. If we want our children to have everything nice because we didn't have it, we will likely lose our children to it because you think they're going to enjoy all this posh behavior all of their life, and then at 18 they're going to pick up a lifestyle of what the Lord calls sacrifice, giving your all to God, and it's costing them their dreams and all of that, and they've never known what sacrifice was. We've got to teach them something, and in the midst of all that joy and enjoyment, our environment has to be one that it's not just hard work all the time, but something that they can grow and thrive in. God help us. Just a couple more thoughts here. In 1 Peter 3 and 7, I know we've... First Peter 3 and 7 says, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. Use some good understanding in dealing with your wife. Make her respect you by the actions that we have. Dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life. She's not our servant, men. She's not our underling in the way that we treat her as such. We treat her with utmost respect. We want her counsel. We want her words to mean something to us. And you know what that brings? Respect back. It brings back to us what in Colossians 3:18 it says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. You know that's fit in the Lord? The Lord calls that fitting. And you know, it causes things to be right in our home. It causes our environment to be such that the pH balance is right. It makes things to where good things can grow within our home. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house. You know, this honor that we're talking about, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. And it goes on down to say that your prayers be not hindered. You know, if we disrespect one another, and our home has all this element in it that is not good, you know, we're going to pray for our children, but we're going to have a hard battle for them. Our prayers for them are going to be hindered. And the Lord wants us to have a situation that gives a real good chance of our children. We can't make them be saved, but we can sure get them up close to the cross. And we can, by the environment of our home, by the riches that God has given us, the rich things of God, we can make them like it. We can make them want it, actually, and not see out there as where I need to go. I need to get out of here. I can't stand it here. That shouldn't be the environment of our home. You know, the Lord wants our home to thrive. Give respect to one another. Give respect. Create an atmosphere of happiness within our home. It makes children want to do those things that are right. Y'all pray for us. We're still raising children. And we want the Lord to help us in that. I think Rosie had just a little bit here.
Okay, if somebody can get Hebrews 11:7, and just want to, I thought maybe we could do a little picture to help us get it in our mind. Somebody can read that.
By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen,
as yet moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith.
So we're going to draw a little bit of an ark here. If you can think, just maybe imagine in your mind, Noah built an ark, and the sea is very troublesome. Our time today is very troublesome. But I would like us to be encouraged, and young men that are here and young women that are here, that you're building your art today. The character that you're building in your life today is going to be for the saving of your house. Noah built an ark that he could save his household in this evil time that he lived in. And so if we can build our house, build our ark, we might say, according to the pattern that the Lord wants us to build, which that would be marriage and honor. And just think of the boards that are in this ark. Every board is important. If respect gets weak, you're going to have a hole in your ark. If kindness, honesty, faithfulness, if there's a weakness, then your boat is going to sink. So now is the, even when you're young, you're building your ark. You need it. We need a we need strong families to take us through this world. And God wants us to look forward to that, young man. There's nothing embarrassing about saying, yes, someday I want a godly wife and a godly family. We don't need to be embarrassed. God has supplied that for us. And He wants our needs to be met in our home. And we can have, like we said, joy in our home. So let's think about the, okay, the ark. We've got, here's the helm, I guess. The helm is here. And here's, we got a captain. He's riding this ship. And right beside him is the co-captain. Okay? She can operate in her job with her own creativity. She has her job as co-captain. And we have the captain. He is operating his position with her support and his own creativity. We're not dominating each other that we cannot function the way that God wants us to function. And on the ark, oh, let's see, let's make it a roof, I guess, like we see the ark many times. We might have a basketball goal on here, okay? So we can play basketball while we are on our ship. And we might have fishing poles, okay? Somebody's catching food for the family and being a benefit for the family. We might have, well, somebody's, this is our basketball. Okay, somebody's sweeping the floor. We're going to have work for every child to do, to be, every child is going to be productive in this boat. And so this one, and everybody has a place. Everybody has a position. Everybody has something to do here in the ark. Yeah, but this, yeah, that's okay.
No?
That's right. Okay. Well, we're going to, let's see. This one over here, he's building. Okay? He's got a hammer in his hand. Okay? He's going to be he's up on a ladder, working on the ark. Okay? So everybody has their position, their place. They have a purpose. And, they are able to function, work together. Remember, we got to keep this boat floating. We've got to keep, like Philip was saying, the right environment. It's got to be happy. We've got to have play, and we've got to have work, and it's got to be in balance. And like I said, we need to build according to the pattern. The Lord designed families. It's a very intelligent design. He designed it to meet our needs, to be able to function, to grow the gospel. That's why He designed families. I also want to encourage those that are single parents, single mothers. You have an ability to keep a happy ark. You can keep a place for those children. We have many records of people that have been raised by a godly mother, and they produced children that were wonderful in the gospel. So don't sit on your job. If your captain is offshore and playing on another ship, then you keep the ship going. Okay? And if your co-captain leaves and is jumping off on another ship, will you keep the ship going? And let it be a place of hospitality. You're going to see joy on it, and your children are going to enjoy that. Now, if this ship, you know, it's just all work, and everybody else around here in the ocean, they're just, oh my, these boats over here, they're just having the biggest time. They got big umbrellas, and they're having, you know, they're sliding off of the ship and just having the biggest time. And your children see that all the time, and they're going to say, I'm going to jump this ship and go over there to that ship. But if you keep the joy in your own ship, they're not going to be looking out over there having to go to that ship. And this ark has got to have purpose. We've got to have purpose. Is that right? Okay, we've got to have purpose. We're on a mission. Okay? We're not just sitting out here in the water lallying around. We are on a mission. We have a purpose. That's why we have to draw together. That's why we have to come in together. Every family needs a mission. Now, your mission at first might be to get this ark built, you know, and it might be maybe we're in a hard time, but draw in together. We might all have to work for our food for a while, but anytime we get an extra or the fad of life might come to us, let it have a purpose. It's not for us just to eat and enjoy on our own self. Let us keep our mission, our purpose, that because of the mission, then we can say, hey, you know, we don't have time to just play all the time. We've got a purpose, and your children will have a purpose in that. Yes, the mission is greater than just ourselves. If we're going to say, well, it's just me and my four, and I'm going to keep them saved, and let me tell you, the devil will get in before you know it. Some of the greatest corruption has been, I hate to say it, but some of these homeschool families that have moved off all by themselves and just going to be me and mine, and you find their children doing some of the worst sins that you ever would think of because they have lost their purpose. We have a purpose, and we have to keep that purpose. I'm for schooling your children. I'm not against it, but you don't do it without a purpose. The ship is to the glory of God. Now, the scripture that we read in Psalms, it says, thus shall a man be blessed that feareth the Lord. Now, let's think that all that we do in this is to the glory of God. Okay? So this is, all that we do here is to the glory of God. That might be our banner. The banner over us is to the glory of God. And as we, we're to the glory of God, or we are built, tied together on the fear of the Lord, then when our humanity runs low, and we, you know, we get in times, we do it as we obey each other, we're kind to each other, we're submissive because we do it as unto the Lord. You see the bigger picture when we do it to the glory of God. If we say, well, Mama messed up, I'm not going to obey her anymore, then you have gotten out of the favor of God. You're not doing it to the glory of God anymore. You need to, what we do, now if you'll notice, children obey your parents in the Lord. I almost feel like that it's almost like as unto the Lord. Okay? The servant, on down from there, it says, servant, obey your masters as unto the Lord. If we do as unto the Lord, then it keeps us rolling even when us as humans fail, if you can know what I mean. So it's to the glory of God. Okay, pleasing the Lord is our aim. Pleasure is a fringe benefit. Uh, Yes. It's not our purpose. We have a higher purpose than that. Also, we must keep one of the keys to a happy family or to a children being saved is when parents are saved, of course. But if we're saved, we're going to be able to get along. We cannot profess salvation and a high calling of God and not have grace to get along with each other. That does not make sense. So we must find a way to live at peace together. We have to have the grace of life. Now, I'm going to, just for fun, this ark is a modern ark, and it has a solar collector on the roof. Okay? It has a solar collector, and it's collecting... Yes, it's collecting from the sun, of course, from the Father. Let me see. And I'm going to write it right on that solar collector. The grace of life. You got to have the grace of life. This is going to power your ship and keep it rolling. This is what powers it. And the only way to keep that grace of life is husbands and wives to stay in love together. And the Lord has grace to do that. Because he said the grace is what? Well, our song says it, but it does say grace abounds. Grace is as free as the air we breathe. So the Lord can help us to have the grace of life. And I know maybe this sounds like a fairy tale, but I believe God has grace for us. If there was ever two people that married that were any different than Philip and I, I've never seen them, okay? So you can't give an excuse that we're too different. Because if the Lord can help us, he can help you.
This has really helped me, the scripture. It says, every wise woman buildeth her house.
That's right.
But the foolish plucketh it down with her hands.
That's
and
right.
So, you know, well, it's just self-explanatory.
That's right. If your captain, if your co-captain is all the time complaining about the captain, you're not going to have any peace on your ship. Okay? Your children are going to say, I'm jumping ship. I'm going somewhere else. Now, or if you're out where they can't see anybody else, you might have some mutiny on that ship. Now, they might not kill you, but they're going to kill your reputation. They're going to kill everything they can about their own parents. So, you know, you think of a ship, they had to keep all their people happy. When they were trying to cross this ocean, they had to keep their workers happy. They had to keep a morale going. That captain had to be thinking ahead all the time about what's going to happen. To keep, and they had a purpose. They were getting somewhere. Any other questions? But if we can think of these things also, if you can think of our homes are going to be the training ground for the kingdom of God, for the church of God. A wise woman builds her house. And we can build our congregations just like we build our own house. It's the same concept that God wants us to get a hold of. In our own, we cannot build things on negative things. We're going to have to keep, like, we're going to have to keep a purpose. We're going to have to keep a respect. We're going to have to keep these things going that we can have a ship that somebody else wants to get on. Hey, you guys are having a good time. I think I'm going to go with you. I'm tired of just being silly and playing all the time. or other ships are having lots of trouble. I want to go in your home. I want to go see what you have. So the Lord can help our families to be strong, to let the kingdom of God be strong. I'm just going to, Sister Tanya here from Oregon. We was in their home. While we were there, there was probably four people that came over to her house. She just seems to be the life of the neighborhood. I mean, people coming and going, eating her good food and receiving her blessings all the time. Mothers and, you know, neighbors and families and everybody. Our homes can be such a wonderful tool that the Lord would have us to use for the gospel. And when we, when our children just see the fun that's going on all around, we create a vacuum. And as soon as they're loose, they're going to be gone. And that's what Philip was talking about. We have to keep a relationship, the cords of love tied around them. If an animal can be trained, our children can be trained. But if you keep an animal caged in all the time and things and don't work with it, as soon as it gets loose, he's going to go. He's going to be gone. And that's the same way with our children. One thing I say is rules without relationship breed rebellion. And the Lord can help us to win the hearts of our children. The prophecy of Jesus coming was that he would turn the hearts of the children to the fathers and the hearts of the fathers to the children. That prepared the way of the Lord. That was the prophecy of the preparing that John was going to do. And it was prophesied in Malachi. Jesus quoted again in Matthew. He would turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. This will prepare our children to receive salvation if we can keep their hearts. I have a burden for young children, and I don't know exactly. I'm thinking maybe 9 in the morning, and I have a burden to have some pointers on raising teenagers. So if anybody's interested, I'll try to set some time. But I do really, I kind of had 3 little burdens. Yeah, I'm thinking from a year to 10 years old, and then from 10 years old on. 2 different lessons for parents. Yeah, there's 2 different ways to deal with children, when they're young and when they're old.